Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Two very important people are here today from Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region. Gretchen Presley's here. Hello, Gretchen.
Hello. So happy to be here.
Thanks for coming in. And you brought along with you Animal Law Enforcement Captain Lindsay Vigna. Hello, Captain.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for coming in today. And we have a lot to talk about. And I guess we should just, you know, jump into the animal law enforcement side, if that's okay with you guys. Mm-hmm. Sadly, a lot of cases recently. So you guys are busy.
Very busy.
We were talking before, and there are several teams. Actually, there's the team here, Team Pueblo, and then there's a separate team in more close to Douglas County, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a Douglas County division, and then also we cover the city of Centennial.
Wow. So very busy. And unfortunately, in the last week or so, well, we've had a couple of animal abuse cases that have happened. Also, a couple of attack cases that have gone on. And very interesting cases that, I guess let's start with the one in Pueblo, if that's okay.
Sure.
Very tragic.
They always are.
All of them. Yeah. And a group of men were out back. Don't know what instigated, but their dog attacked the group of gentlemen.
Yes. Actually, it was two individuals that had gotten into some type of altercation.
Okay.
And then the third victim tried to intervene and also got attacked.
Now, obviously we don't have an animal behaviorist here, but the dog then attacked all three men, including the owner?
Yes, that is correct.
That's very scary. And it sounds like you responded, Pueblo PD responded, and had to try and get that dog under control.
Yeah, from the information I have is that Pueblo police had to actually tase the dog to try to stop the attack. And then at which point they called for our assistance, and we were able to go out and impound the dog.
Wow, that is scary. Now, the dog was, and you're going to help explain the difference. So I wanted everybody to understand,
sure,
like, the different steps and procedures, because a lot of folks may not understand, like, that dog was euthanized. And the owner surrendered that dog to be euthanized.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So they can obviously opt into that choice. The owners can.
Yeah. So they always have the option of signing the dog over to be euthanized. With cases like this, especially with an attack, that animal is not an adoption candidate.
Correct.
And so, we take public safety. That's our first priority. And so we would impound the animal. And if they chose to not have the animal euthanized, we would basically hold the animal for court.
Okay.
And so what happens is, in the statute, it kind of outlines an owner has 10 days from the date of impoundment to post the first 30 days worth of care for that animal while it's in our custody, or request a probable cause hearing. If they fail to do either of those, then the animal becomes property of the Humane Society and would ultimately be euthanized, again, because it's not an adoption candidate.
Okay.
And so that process was written into the statute specifically so that taxpayers were not basically carrying the burden of paying for the care of that animal while we're holding it for the court.
Okay. And so in the other case, and they happened fairly close to each other, a child was attacked here in El Paso County area, and it was a husky.
Yes.
And it sounds like it had to do with play toys.
Yeah.
And so that dog, and so everybody understands the difference, that dog is on a hold.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So that animal, the owners are paying for that care until this case can go to court.
At this time, the owners are paying for the animal to be held.
Okay.
With us. And you know, it's very tricky because, they can also elect to house the animal at an offsite facility. Where basically the animal is still in protective custody, but it's not necessarily at our building.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Long as it's not at where the incident took place.
Correct. As long as it's in a secure facility, and it's, you know, not allowed to be around any other animals or any other people. Again, we just, the idea of holding the animal is to make sure that, you know, public safety is
correct.
Is being upheld. So.
Absolutely. And so then in this particular case, then it'll go to court.
Yes, that is correct.
And then the judge will decide what does the judge determine in these types of cases? Like if the dog is to be terminated, if the dog can be returned to the owner, what kind, How do some of these cases?
Yeah. I mean, so the charge itself, I mean, we're dealing with two separate issues. So we deal with the actual physical state of the animal and whether or not a judge or the court system, you know, believes that the animal should go back to the owner.
Okay.
There are certain cases where, you know, a judge orders an animal to be humanely euthanized. Mm-hmm. Now, aside from the animal itself, you know, there's the criminal case that has to go through. And that's where, you know, they'll determine the fines, any other type of penalties that go along with that.
Against the possible owner or Correct. Against the owner of Correct. That animal. Okay. So that is a set. Is that the same? I'm just trying to understand so we all understand. So that is the same as what this case for this. I'm just using this one particular animal. As
Correct.
It's a criminal case at this point. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's a unlawful ownership of a dangerous dog and it is a state level violation.
Okay. So that goes to a court here, a judge here in El Paso County.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of us may not know the how this works and going to court and stuff like that. So if the dog is determined to be okay, I mean, then it can be returned to the owner?
Yeah. And if a judge allows an animal to be returned to the owner, they'll place basically certain you know, limitations on the dog to go home. So they'll mandate that they have to be kept in an escape-proof containment or a kennel with secure locks, a secure top, a bottom. The dog will have to be microchipped and registered as a dangerous dog through the state of agriculture.
Okay.
Correct. And, you know, again, it's a hefty fine. And so although it's rare, we have had cases where an owner has been sent to jail for, you know, the dog's actions.
Wow. Okay. And dog bites, I think, are a lot more. And we've heard about these two cases really because they were, you know, pretty obviously they were very big cases with the attacks of the pit bull in Pueblo and the child here. But dog bites are pretty frequent, aren't they?
Unfortunately, yes.
You guys investigate several.
Several. Okay. A lot. And, you know, this tends to be the summertime tends to be our busier season. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to respond to a case such as a dog attack because, you know, not only are you dealing with you have to go out and make sure that the animal's secure if you're able to catch the animal. Also, you know, there's a certain piece that's so critical for our officers to follow up with the victims and make sure that they're being shown the compassion and empathy that's needed to go along with that.
So. Well, in some of these situations, like we've been talking about, these are the owner's dogs that have, you know, it's not a stranger's dogs. It's not so both sides. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And our officers go through tons of training on, you know, responding to dangerous animal investigations. Just animal handling in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough situation. It's definitely a tough call for an officer to respond to.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take a quick break. We have so much more to talk about with Captain Lindsay Vigna and Gretchen Presley next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio from the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region. We are talking with Gretchen Presley and Animal Law Enforcement Captain Lindsay Vigna. And we were talking in the break, and I think we need to re-clarify that because my brain, when we were talking before, Captain, it was kind of like, wait. So that's a criminal. I think a lot of folks don't understand a dog bite. It doesn't matter the severity of the attack. Is a criminal case.
Correct. It's still a criminal violation.
Okay.
And I think you're correct, and a lot of people think it's a civil matter.
Okay.
But it is, I mean, when we're writing citations, they are criminal violations.
Okay. I think a lot of folks didn't understand that. And if it's, again, I'm not trying to base it all on the two recent attacks we had, but they were pretty severe dog attacks.
Yes.
Are all dogs say it was a bite? Maybe not a completely break skin bite, but, it, you know, a little not... severe injuries.
Yes.
Is that dog also taken? I'm referring to dogs right now. But
not
yeah.
necessarily. So, okay. I mean, each case
taken
is
into
handled
okay.
yeah, just on a case-by-case basis. You know, our officers go out and they investigate and determine, you know, what's the animal's containment look like? Does this animal have history? Do we have history on the owner?
Okay.
You know, maybe not is being this a responsible pet owner.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot that goes into factoring whether we should impound the animal or not.
Okay. Yeah, because all of this is so tight. It's all a very, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot.
And I really want to move to, because also animal law enforcement, you guys have been investigating recent cases of animal abuse. We've had a couple recent cases, one where a woman was poisoning her neighbor's dog, and then we had that tragic case where that gentleman strangled and slit his dog's throat and, yes. and buried it in his backyard. Now, also, this is very difficult for animal law enforcement to investigate, isn't it?
Very
and
difficult.
Also to charge somebody, get a conviction in animal abuse.
Yes. I mean, and it's difficult for two reasons. And so, obviously, one being that, you know, all of our officers get into this line of work because they're very compassionate about
right.
animals.
Right.
And they all love animals. We all have pets of our own. And so, you know, it's very difficult to respond to something, you know, such as a heinous cruelty case and, you know, keep your composure at times.
Oh,
but,
I'm sure.
On the flip side, it's difficult to investigate because, you know, for the poisoning, for example, if we didn't have the surveillance footage that we were able to obtain, it would have been very difficult to prove that it was that specific individual that committed the crime. And same thing with the other cases. You know, we rely heavily on eyewitnesses, any witnesses for that matter. And, you know, we just go out, we look at the facts. We look at, you know, where's the animal at? Are we able to do a necropsy to determine cause of death?
Okay.
We work with our veterinary staff at the Humane Society, who are fabulous, especially with these cruelty cases. And then, you know, once we have enough information that we feel that there's probable cause for this, you know, this charge, we just try to really work with our partners at the DA's office to make sure that the case is handled, you know, and prosecuted to the fullest extent.
Well, and I'm sure animal law enforcement is, it, like you were saying, it has to be proved. You had video for the poisoning case. There was audio of a confession of injuring that dog in the other case.
Yes.
I'm sure animal law enforcement gets called out numerous times on the neighbor is possibly hearing something, witnessing something, family, but they don't have anything to, but you still have to go investigate.
Yeah.
And then maybe the person who called in to report it gets frustrated because nothing has been done. So maybe if somebody suspects, maybe some tips to give folks if they suspect animal cruelty is happening. Because again, it has to be pretty airtight, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, and you know, again, it all goes back to our officers' training.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always just tell people that if you think something is wrong or doesn't sound right, I mean, certainly give us a call.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
That's the resource, you know, we are for the community. You know, and when we go out, we look at, you know, we do kind of a cursory exam on the animal. How does the animal look? What's the animal's behavior like, especially towards the owner or towards a neighbor, you know, whatever the case may be. And a lot of those cases are unfound, you know, so a lot of times somebody will call in with a, you know, report, oh, my neighbor's dog has been crying. We'll go out and we'll investigate, and okay. It turns out it's just a young puppy that's maybe kind of struggling with some separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And so thankfully it's not always, you know, these horrible cases,
yes.
That we hear in the news, but you know, again, that's what we're there for in the community.
Yeah. So anybody, I mean, really suspects anything, because nobody likes seeing that at all.
Right.
Animal abuse, obviously.
Yeah.
So if they have, call.
Yeah. Just give us a call. And you know, also, I think it's important for the public to understand that these cases are not solved
overnight.
In 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or certainly right. overnight. And, you
yeah.
know, a lot of these cases take several responses out, you know, maybe where we're meeting with witnesses or gathering evidence or following up with a veterinarian. And it takes a while.
Right.
It certainly takes a while to process and to give it all to the court system.
Yeah. And then do you have to, on some of these, work with obviously like local law enforcement, like say sheriff or police or
yes.
us, you have to work on these cases and investigating with
yes,
other local law enforcement.
We do. And, you know, thankfully we have such a wonderful relationship with local law enforcement and, again, the DA's office. You know, especially once a case escalates to a felony level, it is an arrestable offense. So our officers don't have the power of arrest.
Then
and
the
so,
law enforcement has to.
Yes, that's okay. correct.
Now, really quick, and I know you have to get going, Captain. I just want to make sure. So defining what is a felony and what is not, that's very hard, I know, but yeah. And as far as animal cruelty goes.
Yeah. And so if a felony, it's escalated to a felony if we can prove intent.
Okay.
Or if there's, you know, mitigating circumstances that cause it to be extremely aggravating or heinous acts towards an animal.
Okay.
Also, the same goes for a dangerous dog cases. If it's, you know, extremely heinous or it's aggravating, and if it's a second or subsequent offense, so if somebody's already been convicted of one of those crimes, then it could escalate to a felony level.
Okay. So if folks have questions, they can reach out on the website, or can they reach out to animal law enforcement directly with questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And the best number here locally is?
The 302-8798.
And is that for the same one in Pueblo area too?
Yes, that's okay. The same. Yep, perfect. That'll get you into our dispatch, and we'd be happy to chat with you.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for answering questions.
Yes,
you guys have been having me. Yeah, so busy. So we appreciate you coming in. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Captain Lindsay Vigna, Animal Law Enforcement Officer. And coming up next, we're going to talk about Pottoberfest. That's on the way next on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Gretchen Presley from the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region is here. Animal Law Enforcement Officer Captain Lindsay Vigna had to head out. They are so busy. And really quick, Gretchen, before we get on to more happier discussions today, let's just help clarify for folks, because it's the same process for an animal cruelty case as it is for, say, an attack case. Is that the best way to put it? As far as the Humane Society taking that animal into custody?
That's right. So anytime, well, first of all, under the law, which is, of course, what governs all of our animal law enforcement, under the law, animals are considered property, even though, you know, we know they're members of the family, living creatures, but law says they are property. So anytime we take someone's property, basically there are rules that we have to follow and procedures we have to follow to say, yes, we were right in taking this property. And then the owners have certain rights to try to get that property back.
Okay.
And so whether it's a dangerous animal, whether it's a neglect case, whether it's, you know, really heinous abuse, anytime we take an animal, it's the same procedure. And so we take them in and the person has 10 days to either request a probable cause hearing or pay the cost of care. And what that probable cause hearing is basically they go to the court and say, they didn't have the right to take my animal. And the court says, you're right, they didn't have the right. Give me animals back. Or they say, yeah, they did have the right. This is a little suspicious. We're going to keep your animal.
Okay.
When that's for dangerous animal, that's for neglect, abuse, anything. And so if they don't do the probable cause hearing, they don't pay the cost of care, then the animal will become our property at the end of that time. And of course, all of that, if we say we're going to take an animal and they say, oh, please take it and euthanize it, like in the Pueblo case.
In the Pueblo case.
That case, this doesn't apply at all because they have chosen to relinquish the animal for humane euthanasia. Or maybe they, if it's a neglect case or an abuse case, maybe they just choose to relinquish the animal. In that case, we can take them right away, get them that medical care, get them up for adoption, etc.
Right.
But if they decide they want to retain ownership of that animal, that's when they would need to pay the cost of care, because again, otherwise the taxpayers would be paying for us to hold those animals for that long.
Okay.
So in the case of, for example, a neglect case, but I can think of a couple over the years where we've maybe had neglected horses and we've had to take, and they've said, no, I want to retain ownership of those horses. They continue to pay the cost of care until
while they're
the end.
In the Humane Society's care.
Exactly.
And until the court case.
Exactly. And so at the end of the court case, again, the court looks at all the evidence. They look at, they listen to all the testimony, and then the courts can say, you know, yes, you are definitely guilty. You do not get those animals back. Or the courts can say, you're guilty, but it's fine. You can have the animals back. Or the courts can say, you're completely innocent. Nothing happens, you get all the animals back.
Right.
So it's really up to us to put together that really good case, especially if it's cruelty or neglect. If we have to compile that evidence. It's not just, oh, the neighbor said this, well, we're going to charge you, because there's not enough evidence. The courts would say, no, you can't do that.
Right, yeah, you still have to prove the case.
Exactly. So that's why it's so important for officers to be gathering that evidence, getting as much as possible to present to the courts. So then the courts can make that really good determination at the end, and they can say, okay, yes, there is enough evidence. We have decided you are guilty. So it's really close partnership, again, with the DA. And our officers are very, very well trained. They go through weeks and weeks of training.
Right, right.
In order to know how to investigate these cases and compile that evidence and get enough to the courts that hopefully these people will be found guilty.
Well, and the interesting thing, and I was kind of surprised by it, was, and I'm just referencing the case in Pueblo. We know we've had some, you know, pretty big difficult animal dog, let's just say dog attacks.
And mm-hmm.
The one thing that was interesting to me that Captain Lindsay Vigna said, I didn't realize, and I think a lot of folks didn't realize, that even though that dog in that attack was taken into custody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was still under the owners. I would have thought, I guess my brain just said, oh, okay, because it was such a cruel, it was a big mm-hmm. attack, mm-hmm. that animal would have automatically been euthanized. And I think there might be some confusion about that, right?
Right. And it really goes back to that law where animals are property. And
yeah.
So no matter what that animal has done, whether it's, you know, even and killed another dog or a person, it's still the property of the owner. And
yeah.
So we can't just take someone's property without yeah. the legal right to do that. And so that's why there's this process in place set out by the state to go through those legal yeah. processes to get ownership or allow them to keep ownership, but keep it in a safe location.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of folks didn't understand that, right?
Exactly. It is. It's very, very complicated.
It is.
I've worked
Thank
there 7 years
so
and it took me a long time to get it.
Well, so. I'm so glad that you and Captain Vigna were able to come in and talk about it, because there's so much, again, to this, like, again, mm-hmm. the guy that got the felony charge or this, you know, there's a lot to understand and know. So
there definitely is. And laws always get so complicated. And, you know, I wish we could just wave our magic wands and make everything better. But unfortunately, we yeah. do have to follow the laws. We only have the authority the laws give us. So we
right.
can't just take, I mean, we unfortunately get a lot of cases, especially in the winter, of dogs being left outside. And so there are only very specific circumstances in which we can take those animals. Again, they are legally property. And so their needs have to be met legally. But as long as those needs are met, we can't take someone's animal. And
okay.
so if someone keeps their animal outside, you know, obviously we recommend keeping your animals inside.
Especially on very hot
protection.
Or very cold days, yes.
Exactly. But that is not the law. The law is that they have to have adequate food, shelter, and water.
Okay.
So if the animal, you know, has adequate
food, shelter, and water,
then we can't. We can recommend different things to them. We can recommend a sturdier doghouse. We can help them get that doghouse. We can recommend a heated water bowl if their water keeps freezing, but we cannot take that animal unless it is an immediate danger, which a lot of times it's not.
Okay.
So.
Good to know. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we do need to shift gears because there is a massive event coming up. And we need happy topics. That's what
exactly.
we need. We need happy. Pawtoberfest is coming. We're going to talk more about that with Gretchen Presley when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're talking about happy things now with Gretchen Presley from the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region. Truly, you guys, thank you for coming in and helping people understand.
Of course. It is complicated. And before we move on to Pawtoberfest, I just have to give a shout out to all of our animal law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
I deal with all the happy, cute, happy tails and cute puppies and stuff. And they're really the ones out on the streets making sure the community is safe, making sure the animals are safe. So I could not do what they do. So thank you to all of our animal law enforcement officers.
Absolutely. It's incredible. And it's a very stressful. I've always said, like, social workers, officers, police officers, deputies, mm-hmm. firefighters, paramedics, animal law, kudos to all of them because mm-hmm. it takes a very special person.
It does. And, you know, the reward is when we can get justice for these animals and
yeah.
we can be our voice. So now, moving on.
We're going to talk about happy things.
So
I'm on the HSPPR website and I'm seeing all the happy tales of all these adoptions happening.
It's so nice. Especially summer. That's the one benefit of having so many animals in the shelter. We just have so many happy tales.
Yes.
And, I have to share a personal story. I was out hiking this weekend. And a couple weeks ago, there had been this dog that was just not getting adopted. Her name was Ethel. I was really close with her. She was so, so sweet. I really loved her. And she was too big for my home. So I was like, oh, we need to get Ethel adopted. And I was out hiking and I saw her with her new owner and
no,
I got a picture
so awesome.
And I got to talk to him.
Oh.
And it was wonderful. Ethel is doing amazing.
Are they like the perfect, you know?
Yes.
Puppy paw family.
Yes. So she was waiting for him and gets along great with his girlfriend's dog. So just the perfect, perfect pet for their family.
Did he keep the name Ethel?
He did, yes.
I love that.
He was like, this is Ethel. I was like, I know this dog.
Yeah, you're like,
this
I
is my
know.
Friend.
Oh, that's
she gave
so
me kisses.
Awesome.
It was a wonderful story.
Well, and one of the ways that helped, like in another dog we were talking about is Addie. She finally got adopted, mm-hmm. a very sweet girl.
Yeah, she was a very hard case. She came in as a transfer, dog of the streets, never even lived in a home, about 3 years old. So 3 years of living on the streets, trusted people just enough that we thought we could work with her and get her into that new home. So we worked with her in foster homes for 2 months, wow. getting her socialized to dogs, to the point where she wouldn't run and hide every time she saw aww. A dog, getting her socialized to people, new things, hats, you know, all the things that the dogs on the streets just don't see. And, you know, she's never going to be, quote unquote, a normal dog, but we got her to the point where she really liked her certain people. And she was adopted by a gentleman who really wanted to work with her and make her trust him and turn her into that sweet dog that we saw at the shelter.
Which is totally possible.
It is
totally possible.
But, you know, it is hard when people are coming in to see a dog and that dog won't even look at them. It was just hiding from them. Yeah. Like, it's hard to form that connection. But this guy wanted to take the risk on her, took a chance, took her home. And she hasn't come back, so
she's doing great.
Well,
and of course, all of this, like with the fosters and the care and even, you know, having to take a dog into custody, I'm using air quotes, is not possible without fundraising and financial support of the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest events besides the fur ball is coming up. Oh my gosh, it is called Pawtoberfest, and this event is absolutely the bomb.
It is so much fun.
Did you like that? Or I should have said the paw. The paw. The meow.
The paw. It's
the woof. It's the paw.
It is so much fun. If you haven't been to this event and you like beer and you like dogs, you definitely need to sign
yes,
up.
Yes, you do.
It is the Furriest Festival in the Pikes Peak region. It is a massive brews and spirits fest. It's got beer. It's got cider. Different spirits. You can have all the tastings you want. You get this cute little tastings glass that you can try all the different beers, ciders, wines, moonshine that you want.
Even moonshine.
Yes, we've had moonshine before. It's delicious. Start out the day with a short little dog walk. Get your stomachs nice and empty for all of the beer. There'll be food trucks that you can purchase food from. My favorite part are the contests that we have during the day. So
aren't there like doggy costume contests and tricks like, you know, like tricks kind of?
Kind of. There is agility course. So you can try your dog out on the agility course and they'll have demos for the agility course. So that's a little more of the trick part. Mm-hmm. But we have the costume contest. You can dress your dog off in costume. We have the pet owner lookalike contest.
That's
and
awesome.
They really, owners really do look like their dogs. So that's always really fun to see. And then my favorite is the pooch smooch, the best kiss contest.
Oh.
So you got to get your dog to kiss you. And, you know, they're rated on enthusiasm and slobber. And so it's really, really fun to watch. Just a really great day of fun in the sun with your dog and your kids and, of course, beer. So
right. And this event, Gretchen, just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
It is.
I mean, really.
We've had about 2,000 people come last year anyway. And so it's a huge day. It's at Bear Creek Regional Park. You can bring all of your friends. Again, we'll have shuttles running back and forth. We're partnering with Uber and Lyft and those people.
And
to
for
get
parking.
People
so
home.
Where? Okay.
So
also, if they've been sampling, they're like, yeah, exactly. This is because it's really good beer.
It is. It is. It's easy to keep drinking.
Right.
But such a great event. And of course, all the proceeds from that go right back to the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region and making it so that we can help medically rehabilitate almost 6,000 animals a year, get animals spayed and neutered, go with them through foster care, everything that they need to thrive in their new families. And so you do that, pay that registration, and then you can also fundraise in addition. And
like earn. A team kind of a thing, like
exactly.
A team fundraiser. Okay.
You can fundraise by yourself or you can fundraise as a team. You'll get team prizes. You'll get individual prizes. But so that's just extra money that goes back to the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region. But even if you just want to register, that money still helps us out. It still goes right back. And then you get an amazing day in the sun with your family.
Okay. So when is it again? When is it happening, Pawtoberfest?
So it is September 14th.
So we've got about 3 weeks,
yes.
Right?
Oh, oh, I can't believe it.
You're like, wait a minute, wait a minute.
but there is still time to register. The cutoff for reserving a t-shirt has already come by, but you still will have limited sizes available at the event. So still come on out. Still register. Again, it's at pawtoberfest.org, so you can register you register your family, do some fundraising for us, and just enjoy a really great day. And I do encourage you to go register online before the event. I think ticket sales online cut off on September 12th, and then it'll be $5 more day of.
So yes. People can still walk up day of.
Yes, you can still walk up. It just will be $5 more, and we absolutely cannot guarantee you a t-shirt because we won't have your information beforehand.
It's so funny, the thing with the Pawtoberfest t-shirts. Like, even when you were in on Friday and you were here for your TV Pet of the Week, and you had on your Pawtober, I mean, these things are like collector's items. It's a craze. Everybody's like, the shirt. And we're like, we know the shirt.
We found a child size shirt from 10 years ago that I put on a dog for one of our Facebook posts. So they're still out in the community. Occasionally we'll see them from 10 years ago, 12 years ago from this event.
Yeah.
So I wear mine all the time and everybody's like, oh, that's really the greatest. It's a great event. And I love the hat on the dog. And so
yes,
they are collector's items. Everyone keeps them. I have so many and I wear them all the time. You definitely want this t-shirt.
Yeah. They're like collectors. And really quick, Gretchen, can we say some of the brewers that are coming?
Because there's so many
amazing, right?
We have a lot of great partners. Peaks and Pines will be there. Bristol will be there. I haven't looked at the list in a while.
Let's see if I can bring it up there.
Yeah, it's pawtoberfest.org, and there's a list of all of our sponsors, but it's just breweries from across the region, some up in Denver and Boulder. Pretty sure Breckenridge.
I'm trying to look here really quick.
They usually come out. We've had that moonshine there for the last couple of years. We usually have a cider or two. So
I can't do the moonshine, I'm just saying.
It's really small drinks, but it tastes like apple pie. And
yeah, but then I'm usually
flavors.
Like drooling on myself.
Right.
Like,
so you just drink this dessert that's also going to get me drunk.
So everybody, okay, when does online ticket purchases ends the 12th.
Yes, September 12th.
But you can get tickets
day of.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to pay $5 more day of. And again, we can't guarantee you a t-shirt, but we can guarantee you a day of fun, even if you just want to show up day of.
Right. And bring your friendly dogs.
Or they can bring you. Dogs are always welcome. And if they can vouch for you, you can come too.
That's awesome. Again, that's pawtoberfest.org to get your tickets. Gretchen, always great seeing you.
Thank you so much. You too.
And of course, really quick, we'll have the afternoon pet of the week tomorrow afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have our Thursday morning pet of the
week.
Right. And thank you.
Thank you.
You're so awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming in today. And coming up tomorrow, lots going on with Council of Neighbors and Organizations. We'll have details tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.